is where we'll be reading at this evening while you pray for us. It will not, I shouldn't say it will not. It should not be a long message, but God can move in mysterious ways. So I ask that you pray for us while we're before you this evening. Isaiah chapter 61, reading the first three verses tonight. First three verses. Verse number one, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And stop reading there in that third verse this evening. Isaiah is saying in those latter verses that we read, everything that God does for us in our life, everything, it's so that we might glorify his precious and holy name. If the Lord has been good to you, we owe him glory and honor and praise in the house of the Lord. We have had a wonderful weekend. We thank God for yesterday. It was a good day. Today has been an even better day. And even any time I can be with my brothers and sisters, it is a good day. We was in church on Wednesday night. We was up at Clarence and Georgie's on Thursday night. And back in the house of God this morning. And here we are again tonight. And God has been wonderful each and every time that we have come together. I'd like to use for our message tonight that first verse where he says that the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Good tidings that God has called men to stand and preach the word of God that would bring good tidings unto each and every one of us this evening. He says in his word that is to bring good tidings to those that are meek. And to be meek is a quality of being patient in the reception of injuries. It stands opposed to malice and to revenge. And many of us have endured meekness along this journey to where we have been hurt, we've been downtrodden, we've been talked about, we've been beaten, if you'll have it tonight. But because of meekness, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we allow God to take the handle and take care of that situation. I think it's important for us to know tonight that God does not call anyone to preach his word without giving them the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God we are in a Bible-believing, God-fearing, Holy Ghost-filled house of the Lord. And I appreciate what I have felt all week and even here today and tonight, that we need Holy Ghost-filled men to stand and preach the word of God, that people can be set free, that those that are bound can be loosed, and so that people can have good news brought to them. We're living in a time where it's bad news, and bad news. We need some good news that comes from the pulpit of the house of God that teaches us today that it's not always going to be like this. Yes, we are going through storms at this hour, and there are lives that are torn all to pieces right now. But just hold on for a little while, can you? And just hold on, because God is still on the throne. He is still in control. And he says, worry not, I'm in control tonight. I've got it all taken care of. Just hang with me, for a little while, and you will see great things happen in your life. I don't know about the church, but I'm excited about the way God is moving in the midst of our church and how He has prospered and blessed us to be able to gather together and feel His Holy Spirit when we come into this house. Can I put it to you like this? Let's not take it for granted, because there are churches across the land that gather and there is no Spirit in them. Can I get a hallelujah to the man of God who blesses this house with the anointing of His Holy Spirit that comes down? God will not call a man to preach without giving them the Holy Spirit. And when they have the Holy Spirit, they could take a piece of crumb and make a message out of it. Praise the name of the Lord. Or they can take something that is just a little bit what they see, and God put His Spirit upon it, and the next thing you know, it becomes a message that sets people free and lets them know that you don't have to be bound. Some of you tonight, and I don't know why God gives me these words, but I'm just called to preach what He gives to us tonight. Some of us have been bound long enough. It's time to allow God to break the chains, the fetters that's got you held down, and let go and just let God receive the praise in the house of God, that we might be able. When was the last time you really thanked God for all that He has done for you? Brother Ray, in the old time churches, preachers didn't have to preach long because people come to church excited about what God had done for them in that past week. You woke up feeling good this morning, been sick a long time. You ought to praise God for it this morning in the house of God, because we need old time anointing like we have never needed it before. He said He's going to set He's going to preach good tidings unto us tonight. And let me tell you for just a little bit about those good tidings this evening, if I can. That was I got so many markers in the Bible, but give me a be patient with me for just a minute. But when we think about good tidings, we think about Mary and Elizabeth when they was there and the angel coming down. But let me tell you about good tidings in the New Testament, and you see if God hasn't blessed you with these tonight. When we think about good tidings, it's good news that comes to us. You turn on the radio, you turn on the TV, all you hear is bad news, and bad news. I've got some good news tonight, that God's word today, the sister said, she was reading it from the front to the back, and I've done that, and I've tried to do it many times over, and I get started, and I read so far, and then something catches my mind, and I end up turning over to the New Testament or back to the Old Testament to try to find out what it means a little bit deeper. How many of us want to go just a little bit deeper with the Lord tonight than we've ever gone before? That you may have a knowledge of the Word of God, but we need more than just a knowledge of the Word of God. We need that Spirit that will come by and reveal unto us what God wants us to do with the knowledge of that Word. It is just a word, but thank God it is an anointed word, because who wrote this book? And I got to slow down because I'm old, but who wrote the book? But it was men of God as the Spirit moved upon them. This is a lively book today, and it is full of good news for all of us together. All of us. The Bible says it is used of the kingdom of heaven of God. It is used of Jesus Christ. Good news is used of salvation. If you can't say amen to anything else, you can say amen to salvation. It was good news. The best news I ever did hear was that my sins have forgiven me and I was made part of the kingdom of God. I may get over or be left out of a lot of things in this life, but Brother Jack, one thing is for certain, because my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, salvation is a dear and the best thing that ever happened to me. And church, we ought to be able to rejoice in knowing that we're saved and on our way to heaven, and we're filled with the Holy Ghost that's going to keep us and get us there. The Bible says that the grace of God is good news. Has anybody else experienced the grace of God this week? The grace of God. when God does something for you that you don't even deserve. Oh, I got to slow down. How many of us have experienced where we should have gotten the opposite of what we received, but it was because God's grace came by our way today? Some folks that should have been dead are alive today because the grace of God came by their household. Some folks today that ought to have tears of sorrow, but because of the grace of God, you've got a smile on your face tonight. Some folks today that ought to be down and out and worrying about how they're going to make it tomorrow, but the grace of God came by and he blessed you today. And he not just blessed you today, but he blessed your tomorrow already. How many of you know tomorrow's going to be a good day because of the grace of God? I don't know if I'm going to preach like this, but thank God the Holy Spirit reveals to us God is going to take care of everything that's got us pushed down. It's time for the redeemed of God to shout out the praise to Lord for the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says also that good news is emblematic of peace that God gives to us. We got peace that surpasses all understanding. Sometimes when I'm on the boat of life and it's rocking to and fro, and I'm able to lay down at night and have peace about the storm that is all around me, I don't understand it, but I'm glad when the master is on board, you don't have to worry about the ship going down. Oh, praise God. He is the captain of my ship, and no ship has ever gone down with the captain on board. You know those fishermen, they said, "Master, don't you not care that we're about to die? Don't you care that we're about to drown?" And he went up there and he said, "Peace and be still." Sister Brenda, has he spoke peace in your life today? I know she's been through so much with the loss of her husband and the loss of her sister just recently, but I'm glad that I know a God tonight in a Holy Ghost filled church that is able to pray one for another and say, "God, help my sister. I don't know how she's making it, but God says, I've got it all taken care of. I've got me, I've got the Holy Spirit, and I've got my son, Jesus Christ, and he will speak good news to her and to all those that are hurting." The promises of God is good news. Amen. Sister Emily, when you was reading about Moses and Aaron and reading about Joshua, the promises of God are true forever and ever. Amen. If God says, "I'm going to do it," you can count on it. Amen. And I know this is contradictory to a lot of folks, and I didn't come to be contradictory, but I come to preach the word of God. Every promise in this book, God has fulfilled, with the exception of one. He said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus whom you see going away, he'll come again in like manner." Praise God. He's given every other promise. He said, "You bury me, and in 3 days I will rise again." And sure enough, in 3 days the storm was rolled away. And they looked in there, and the dead man was no longer there. But he's alive and he's a well. And then he gave us a promise that "I'll give you a new covenant." On the day of Pentecost, when they was there, the mighty Spirit of God came down like a mighty rushing wind, and they spoke in tongues, and all of them understood. If I recall correctly, about 18 different countries was gathered there on that day. They all heard Peter preach, and they say they understood it in their own tongue, and they began to rejoice and praise the Lord, and about 3,000 souls was added into the kingdom of God. And then I tell you, if he promised us those, when he said, "I'm coming again, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be. And when if I go, I will come again." How many of you looking for him to come tonight in the clouds of glory? And when he comes, all the bad news will be left behind, and it'll be good news day after day after day. Sarah told me this morning it's going to rain. It did not rain. Jesus said, "I'll see you again." He's going to see us again. Amen. not to pick on Sarah. The Bible teaches us that faith is good news. No matter what we're going through, if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we could say, be thou removed to that mountain, and that mountain can be removed. I'm not talking about I've never moved a physical mountain, but I've helped you. Oh, and you have helped me. How many of you know you've been benefactors of somebody praying to move a mountain in your life? Oh, how many of you prayed to move mountains in other people's lives? You know why you can do it? It's because old time Holy Ghost filled preaching gives you faith that you can grow and that you can administer. It's not because Roger said it or some other preacher. You know why? I exercise it and I believe it because the Word of God says it, and the Word of God will be true when the world is on fire. It'll be standing still and standing and proclaiming in the name of Jesus Christ. I heard a strange doctrine this week. I heard a preacher, nationally syndicated preacher, say that when we get to heaven, he's going to be a teacher of the word to teach us what we didn't learn while we was here. I was driving my car and I said, Lord, have mercy. When I get to heaven, every question I have, John said, I saw in that city a throne high and lifted up. And he that sat on that throne, yeah, he that sat on that throne is the one that you and I, as soon as we see that place that he's prepared, as soon as we see him, every question, it'll flee from us. No more misunderstandings. No more wanting to know. I want to know more about my Lord. You better learn it on this side. Get the good news while you're here. It says also in the book of Colossians, good news brings hope. Many of us were hopeless. And even after we're saved, there's times when our hope is almost extinguished. I don't got much longer to preach. Our hope is almost extinguished. I've had two men in our church. Don't that sound wonderful? Two men in our church. Brad was desperate because of the shift that he was working. Y'all have heard him testify and request prayer. David, at a point of desperation because of the travel and the pay, their hope was almost extinguished. But then they brought it to Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. Can I brag on you? And the Spirit of God got a hold of their sincere desire of their hearts and their prayers. And you know what has happened? Next Sunday, last Sunday, this young man is no longer driving to Williamstown, Kentucky, but he's working now 10, 15 minutes from his house, making more money and saving tank after tank of gasoline that he don't have to pay for. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because God comes when there's no hope. That's when God can show up and say, let me show you what I can do. And he can take your hopeless situation and turn it into joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then I want to close today with this here, that everything the Bible says about God and about what he has done, and I got to go back to my scripture for just a minute. He said he would bind up the brokenhearted. That brokenhearted does not necessarily mean death. It means that anything that just breaks your heart and brings you down to your knees. And I've been there time after time after time. But can I testify for just a minute? Every time I've been down to that situation and I realize it was bigger than me, and I'd be began to search out the scripture and call upon the Holy Ghost. Have you called upon the Holy Ghost to come by your way? Can I preach? I know we're not in a holiness church, but that's all right. You don't have to earn or try to get the Holy Ghost. When you were saved, you was given the Holy Ghost. It lives inside of you, and it dwells there to guide us and to lead us and to exhort us and to rebuke us. To proclaim liberty to those that's in prison. Every one of us, Satan had locked up. And he still, if we're not careful, he cannot lock up our soul, but he'll lock up our mind. I said I was going to close, didn't I? How many of us have felt like we're useless? How many of us have felt like Satan has just beat us to the pulp, to where we feel like we have no self-confidence? We're depressed. Oh, I know I'm in a Baptist church, but follow me. We get to a place where he tries to drive us away from the thing that means the most to us, and that is the house of God. You see, I have been a prisoner even since I've been saved. Anybody else want to say amen? Amen. And he will work on me tonight after church, and tomorrow morning he'll be all over my back trying to get me down. You messed up in that message. You messed up in that song. You messed up in that testimony. And then we was up there on Thursday night. As soon as we got in the car, the Lord, Satan come by my way and said, you should have let somebody else take care of it. You should not have listened to what Clarence wanted. You should have given it to somebody else, and you should have had these to sing. And Satan was all over me. But then I come to church this morning, and I heard a testimony from a sister saying how proud she was of our church and of the representation and of the word. The woman that sat next to her was just bragging, Sister Mary, if I can use that. And folks, don't let me tell you tonight, don't brag on Roger, because I am just flesh and blood. But if there's any glory to be given, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Lord, that we have the church that we have. Thank you that we have the singers that we have. And I'll go out on a limb here. Thank you for the preacher that will stand and preach the word of God, not worried if you like it, if you don't like it, but just preaching the word of God instant in season and out of season. And God will bless you. Greatly distressed in any trouble of any kind. God has anointed his men. And I know we're living in a time of wokeness. We're living in a time like none other. Folks, God calls men to preach the word. If any man desire the office of a bishop, let him ask God. Amen. Some of you tonight, I've never shared this, but let me share it and I'll close. God called me to preach when I was 16 years old. Sister Harkins, on the way out, I was running as fast as I could to get away. Going away to college, and Sister Harkins, on the way out of the church, she said, son, God's got a mighty work for you. She said, he hasn't delivered to me yet what it is, but he's got to work for you. Took me 3 years to finally announce my call to preach. And I've had my bad times, and I've had my good times. But I tell you, there's nothing like proclaiming the year of liberty to the captives. Nothing like telling lost people you can be saved. Nothing like telling church folk, hold on for just a little while longer. Yes, the seas are rough right now. But how many of you feel like with all your spirit of God today, that you know what? It don't matter how rough the week is. If I can make it to church on Sunday morning, give me an amen. Amen. If I can make it to church on Sunday night, and if I can make it back on Wednesday night, And I want to use all three of those to encourage you in Sunday school on Sunday morning, because there's not one service that is more important than another service. They're all equally important. You say, well, it seems like Sunday night or Sunday morning is the biggest crowd, then it veins off a little bit on Sunday evening, and then on Wednesday night, it really, the crowd goes way, way down. But let me tell you tonight, from the depth of my heart, the other Wednesday night, there was what, 6, 7, 8 of us here? 10? But you know what? We still preached like it was Sunday morning. You know why? He's the same God. He's my same Lord. He's the same Master. Folks, today, it's not just a preacher that has the Spirit of God, but it's all of us. How many of you got that Spirit down in your soul tonight? Yes. Some of you don't want to raise your hands because you're afraid I'll preach another 10, 15 minutes. But let me tell you, when that Spirit down there, oh, gets to stirring, I can recognize what Jeremiah was saying when he said, I'll not declare his name no more. But then it was like fire shut up in his bones. He had to tell somebody. Tonight, we need to tell people. There's a difference between going to church and being at church. Get us a song, Sharon. I like to go to church, but I'd rather be at church. Amen. Everyone that has been born again needs a church. But everyone that's been born again needs to be in church. Experiencing church. The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news. Sometimes we're way up here. Sometimes I feel like I could almost go bear hunting with a switch. Some of you thought I was going to say I could walk on water, didn't you? I know I can't walk on water. A man's got to know his limitations. Then there's times that I feel like I have to look up to see the belly of the worm. But in my lowest hours, I cry, oh, Lord. Well, and he hears my cry. You know why? To tie it into this morning, he is my shepherd. I am one of his sheepfold. And sometimes I can't cry too loud, but he hears my heart. Tonight, God has moved in your life, and you want to have more than just attending church. And that's what I want to talk about. It's more than just attending. Every one of us, when we go to church, God is wanting us to be a participant in church. Sister Ruby, she said she enjoyed Thursday night so much. And I thanked her for helping. Because there's an old song that says, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk. Brad and David, there's times that I'm so nervous. Announced my call in 79, ordained in 85. Been pastoring for over 20 years. And I still get a knot in my stomach because this is so valuable. And I don't want to mislead anybody. I want you to know that if you want more out of church, you have to put more in. You got to put more in. More than just showing up. But showing up with a spirit. Lord, you want me to sing? I'll sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I'll sing for you, Lord. You want me to testify? I'll testify. Lord, you want me to sit here and pray? And pray and pray for the singers and the preacher. I'll sit here and pray. Whatsoever you want me to do, oh Lord, that's what I want to do. Amen. That I might help others. That when they go to church, they can be fed. This is a feeding trough. Amen. And y'all know me at homecomings and times of fellowship and even Friends and Family Day. I enjoy watching everybody else eat. I do. Same way in the house of the Lord. I enjoy watching God's people eat. You say, how can you tell it? Your face will tell the story. And some of you, I see you take it up and chew it, and then you spit it out. Yeah. And some of you like, and don't take this wrong, you're like one of those old farm animals that just takes it and you just chew it and chew it and chew it. Let me tell you, you need to swallow. Because the more you chew, the bigger it's going to get. Amen? Bigger it's going to get. I said it a few moments ago. I'm excited about what God is doing in our church. We've not busted any walls out. No. But I can feel that spirit in the house of God. You could say, Roger, you're going to prophesy now and tell us what God's going to do. The prophets were until John. Paul said he was born, that was one that was born out of due season. But the prophets were until John. What I'm saying is if we come in here to work together, bring your spirit and my spirit and get united with the Holy Spirit, there's no telling what God can do for us this evening. But we have to want to grow. You can have the Holy Ghost filled singers. You can have the Holy Ghost filled message that goes out. But if you don't want to ever do anything more than where you're at right now, God will not force you to change. But I want to ask a question. And then they'll sing. When I feel what I felt today, oh, Lord, you don't have to ask me if I want to grow. I want more. I want more of what I felt. And when I get more, I want even more. Because it's a hunger that's way down on the inside. While we stand, they sing a verse of song. I'm done. I'm done. Anybody tonight want more? You want more than what you have today? Then you need to step out and ask God to give it to you, that you might be a better workman in the house of God. More than just knowing the book, but living the book. More than just going to church, but being in church. It's up to you. It's up to you. Yes. Amen, amen. How many of you want to do more for God? Raise your hands in the house of the Lord. It starts with you. Nobody can get you to do it but you. You are the one that is holding you back. Instead of holding yourself back, just let go and let God use you. I've said this many years ago in a message. I don't know if I've used it recently. But if many of us worked on our jobs like we worked for God, we'd been fired a long time ago. Is that not the truth? God would have said, you're fired. Security, take them out to the door. Get them out of here. But God is gracious and kind and slow to anger. Thank the Lord tonight. Amen. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on this day? It's been a great day.